This is the story of the one. As a custodial supervisor at a high school, he knows that during cold and flu season, germs spread fast. It's why he partners with Grainger to stay fully stocked on the products and supplies he needs, from tissues to disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Also that he can help students, staff, and teachers stay healthy and focused. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
12-year-old Lee Spencer is in the back seat of his family's car as it's pulling up the driveway of the house they are moving into. Lee notices a young girl looking at him from the upstairs window. No one else in the car sees her. This is the beginning of a 4-year journey of Lee Spencer's unbelievable events that happened in and outside of that house. Spencer's Ghosts, available now on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Apple, any place you get your books. Available in paperback and ebook.
I'm Linda Maris, and my book is Hypocrisy versus Mysticism, Wisdom and Morality. It is about my paranormal phenomena and channeling the spirit of a provocative, influential comedian who unveils his past life journey and current spiritual state. If you are intrigued by the mysteries of life, the spirit realm, and personal growth, this book is a must-read. Step into the unseen. You are listening to Ghosts in the Valley with Al Cooley.
I want to welcome Daniel Cahoon. Daniel is the host of Magical Journey Podcast. It's a podcast where UFOs, cryptids, Bigfoot, ghosts, poltergeist, and everything else paranormal is discussed. Daniel is also a seasoned paranormal investigator, and I'm glad to meet you, Daniel, and thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
You come with some pretty good people that say you're really credible and a great guy. And let's just jump right into it. I mean, before we talk about your podcast and your investigations, let's talk about what got Daniel Cahoon interested into the paranormal. I mean, where did it begin?
Wow. You know, that's a really good question because I was so young when I really started doing like actually reading and so forth. There was a lot of experiences that began to happen very early on in my life. The turning point, I think, was when my adopted mother passed. I was 9 years old. And by this time, I'd already been pretty much like into, you know, horror, science fiction, all the things that kids shouldn't watch. I always watched. Was always fascinated by documentaries on UFOs and aliens and stuff like that. So when I started noticing things going on around me, it would be stuff like we had the old analog televisions and so forth. It didn't come with a remote. You had to get up and turn the knob. For some reason, occasionally mine would just start flipping channels by itself. And I would be like, okay, that's kind of interesting. And it was annoying too, because I had certain things, yeah. You know, I mean, you're a kid, mm-hmm. You got certain things that you wanted to do. I loved watching Charlie's Angels back in the day. Mm-hmm. You know, I distinctly remember one night getting interrupted from watching Charlie's Angels because my television decided to start flipping around. And we only had four stations, so what was the point in that? I don't know. But
maybe a special visitor.
Definitely. And so it kind of escalated from there. The stepmother, who was deeply religious, she was actually a form of charismatic called free holiness, which they don't play with stuff like this. They like everything is either of God or of the devil.
Mm-hmm.
And so she started passing by my room occasionally at night or whatever, and she would hear footsteps across my floor or hear somebody talking. And she would look in my room, and of course I was sound asleep. Lights were off, and there was a light coming through my window outside, so she could see enough of the room to know that there was nobody in there. And she would always bring it up to me. She'd be like, "I heard," you know. I'm like, yeah, I get it. So these sorts of things started happening early on. I guess the closest I can really pinpoint an actual age is 9. Way before that, though, my interest was peaked way before that.
Yeah, you mentioned that, you know, being religious and either God or the devil, you know. And I think I was talking to Senator Hill last night, and we got on that topic. You know, I would think when you're raised in, like me, you know, going to church, I raised a Methodist. I think a lot of the preachers back then, you couldn't even talk. I may be a little much older than you, but you couldn't even talk to paranormal because you're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. And if you talk to paranormal, you're going to hell because you can't, and stop talking away because, you know, and I think that a lot of people that had things that happened to them, like myself, you didn't want to bring that up because, number one, you're going to be crazy talking that, as they say, that nonsense, you know, and you need to go repent. I mean, no question about that, you know. So, yeah, I kind of related to that when you brought that up about, you know, being her being very religious.
Yeah, and, you know, unfortunately, I mean, where I live, right in, Sin and I both live right in the Bible Belt. So even now, I mean, there's a lot of people, you know, that are very distrusting of those of us who, you know, if you have a different religious belief or you have a different, you know, view on all of these things and so forth, they get very, very testy and very distrusting. You know, occasionally you'll have one or two that will, you know, at a family gathering or something like that or whatever, will, you know, jokingly tell some story about great grandma's haint story, as they call it, you know, or something like that, where they've experienced, somebody in the family has experienced a ghost before or something. But rarely do it has to be in an environment where, you know, they perceive it as being a bit silly and irrational at best. Yeah, there's a lot of that here, though, unfortunately, now still.
Do you do investigations, and do you have your own team?
You know what? I am just really, Sin and I are going to a place down in South Tennessee in March, and that will really be the first time I've been out in a very long time investigating. The thing that really got me started with the investigation part was really working with a lady who was doing past life regressions for people who had been abducted or believed that they had been abducted by aliens. And she picked up on some things with me and asked me, said, "Do you mind helping me with this group a little bit? Do you mind coming in as a guest in this group and using your abilities to be able to do that?" And so it kind of, that's what really started the whole investigation process for me. And that was, gosh, 1980s when that started. So I was fairly young still then. I'm currently just starting back in it, getting back in that. I was mostly doing a lot of research over the last few years, trying to keep up with everything. Gosh, this feel, I'm going to tell you now, I have never seen something change so quickly overnight. We went from our main focus back at one time with the cryptids, especially was Bigfoot and Mothman. Now all of a sudden we got Bigfoot, Mothman, Dogman. Very popular to talk about now.
Dogman seems to be on the rise now. I mean, more and more people contact me about Dogman. I haven't had a show about Dogman yet. I mean, yeah, Bigfoot and cryptids and Skinwalker and all that, but Dogman, no.
Yeah, Skinwalker is another one that, I mean, the Skinwalker legend's been around for eons, and yet, you know.
That's kind of related like to a lot of Indian folklore, you know, Indian legends.
Yeah. I mean, it's always been with us, and yet it wasn't really a public talked about thing for years. I never heard anybody talk about skinwalkers as much as I would dig into paranormal stuff early on. Never crossed my plate at all until the last few years. We were more focused on, like I said, the basics. I mean, like, I remember the first time I heard about Mothman. I can tell you now, it was around the time that Nixon got in trouble with his mess, because I was young enough that I was trying to process it all.
Like the early 70s, yeah.
Yeah, I was trying to process it all. And I kind of pushed it off to the side for a bit because I was like, at 7 years old, I was like, there's nothing here photographic wise or anything like that to capture the imagination of a 7 year old. So I didn't get really involved with even doing any research or reading about the Mothman for years.
So you're a psychic medium?
You know, I really don't. Let's put it this way. I have some gifts. I'm not sure.
I asked a question on a previous guest, and she said she was kind of hesitant also on saying that because she called herself more of a psychic channeler. She channels.
Right.
You know,
right.
And I was just curious, you know, because you were talking about your gifts. You know, they brought you in because of your gifts. What would that be?
There's several things that over time I've either learned that I've possessed or that I've kind of honed a bit. I always forget all the technical names of all of them, but I definitely, early on, one of the things that I learned was the ability to be able to pick up energy, images, memories from objects, metal especially. So being able to, you know, hold a ring or a set of keys were always a big thing for me. If I hold them, being able to pick up images and like I said, even memories and so forth off of them. The ability to be able to grasp without even having anything to touch or hold certain imagery, sometimes I even can hear voices of things and people and so forth. Recently, I've started dabbling a little bit more into what people here call mind speak. Back in the day, we called it telepathy, but you know, the Appalachians, we're all quite, I consider myself Appalachian now, even though I wasn't born here. We're all quite, we got our own lingo.
And that's a huge area, Appalachians. You know, I was doing some research on that a while back and for some 411 cases. And I'll tell you what, man, that's a huge, huge area that it covers, is. You know. And yeah, and there's down in the southern part of Ohio, there's part of that Appalachian. They even comes in the southern part of Ohio, but it's like their own language.
The Appalachian speak and the dialects of Appalachia, the Appalachian Mountains. You know, you have descendants of the Scottish, the Irish, some Germans, some Swiss, mostly Scottish and Irish. And so, you know, some of those families have been in those areas for generations. And I know my own family, you know, had, like, if there was any of my original ancestors, folks still in the hills and mountains that we don't know about, you know, their bloodline traces over here from around 1630. So, you know, there's been quite a history of the Cahoon clan here in this country, especially from that one ancestor. There's quite a few descendants. Yeah, the dialect is very, and that plays into a lot of things about the history of the area too. If you look at, there's the school of thought that says that back when all the land masses were together as, what was it, Panzania, I think is what they called it, the land masses that would become the United States and the UK were actually at one point joined together. What we call the Appalachian Mountains now is part of the same mountain ranges that are in those areas. So with that said, a lot of the theories that some of us have revolve around the fact that around the Smokies, all of those areas, all of those mountains are very old. I mean, it's scientific fact that they're very old because the reason why they're not as tall as the mountains on the West Coast is because those are newer mountains. Over time, the mountains on the East Coast have worn down somewhat, so they're not as tall. They even have a look and a feel of being very ancient. So some of the critters and other things that you hear about in the Appalachian Mountains are very kin to some of the old Celtic folklore and so forth.
It seems like, yeah, the cryptids and Bigfoot is on the rise, like in the mm-hmm. Appalachians. You know, mm-hmm. It seems like that anyway. And when I get back to the 411 cases, and a lot of people will say there's a Sasquatch or Bigfoot or Woodbooger, whatever you want to call it, you know, that's in that area. You know, we have some of that in Ohio, but it seems like Tennessee, I begin more and more people contacting me that they spotted Bigfoot. And I found it fascinating, you know, that the sightings have picked up.
Well, the area that I live at, Murfreesboro, is my house sits at the very outskirts of town. So actually my backyard is kind of the end of the city in a sense, because it starts getting rural from my backyard on. I go down the street to my local Kroger grocery, and if I turn and go right down 96, I just drive a couple of blocks and I'm already in country area.
Okay.
So with that said, Lebanon, Tennessee, Murfreesboro, all the surrounding areas through there, a lot of people see those as metro areas, but what they don't know is places like Cedars of Lebanon, heck, actually there have been daylight sightings in Lebanon and other parts around here of Bigfoot and so forth. Actually, one of them that I read not too long ago was two 12-year-old kids that had a daytime sighting. And the reason why I don't discount that report is their choice of words in describing it. Unless you've ever seen one or have talked to enough of people to know what you're dealing with, there are certain key words that people will use in the descriptions. And I'm not going to give those away because I don't want to throw those words out there so anybody can just pick them up.
Mm-hmm.
But there are certain key words people use to describe these things that these kids were using. And I was like, they're not crapping here. They're really serious.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this was not too far from me. I mean, the Cedars of Lebanon is 30 minutes from me. So we are, even where I'm at, in kind of the hotbed of Bigfoot country here. And then I'm about an hour away from Highland Ridge area. And well, I think Highland Ridge is a little farther that way. But the Cumberland area, the Cumberland Plateau, over around McMinnville and so forth in that area, it's very known to be cryptid country in that area. As a matter of fact, ever so many years there in Sparta and those areas, we get back into the debate about what they call the pygmy graves, which are thousands and thousands of these graves that are only a few inches long that they've discovered all over the place. Vast cemeteries of these very small graves that contain some form or some bits and pieces of bone that are debatable whether they're actually a full human or not because of the small amounts of it that you can find. The graves are really old. But the fact that the grave itself is so small does not make sense.
Is there any place you won't go? Like, like that's it. Like you draw your line. I'm not going to go here. I think I came across one of your internet, and I think you guys were on a podcast. I don't know which one it was. And Sinclair Hill and you and somebody else, and they were talking about doing something. You said, no, you're not doing that. I mean, where do you draw the line at?
That may have been Land Between the Lakes. So Land Between the Lakes is just west of Clarksville, and it's an area that stretches between Tennessee and Kentucky. It's the northern parts in Kentucky. There's the southern part obviously extends into Tennessee. There's a few reasons why I'm not really a fan of ever going there. First of all, because of the fact that I'm really sensitive to things, I think it would be very overwhelming because there's a lot of stuff goes on there. There's 270 plus graveyards alone in the Land Between the Lakes. At one time, that area was settled. There were people living there before the government took control of it. So there's a lot of cemeteries there. When the government came in and took over that land, it was done very forcefully. It was just not a nice experience. There was a lot of very deep emotion attached to that. To be honest with you, though, even though there's a high percentage of dogman sightings there and some Bigfoot stuff, the thing that I am most terrified of about the Land Between the Lakes are the rattlesnakes.
Oh, yeah.
It is apparently abundant in rattlesnakes.
You had mentioned something earlier about the Cumberland, and I had a friend of mine who just came from there, and they were doing some hiking, and he said that, he doesn't believe in anything paranormal, but he was saying they were driving their car, right? They're on the way home. They're coming out of the Cumberland. And this, like you're talking about the dogman, this dogman type of creature ran out of the woods behind their car and was running behind their car. And he said, we were going maybe 45, 50 miles. Now we have to speed up. We don't know. We don't want to speed up because we don't know the curves and turns, and we don't know the area that well. But the faster we were going, the faster it was going. So I thought that was kind of interesting because, as he was saying, I'm thinking that thing could have caught you any time it wanted then. So I think it was just basically telling us to get out of there. But he says, I'm telling you, I look back at it and it was not human and it was not Bigfoot. So I don't know what it was.
Were they on the main stretch there? Were they on the highway when that happened?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah.
Well, they just got on the highway from the little side street that came out of where they parked their car at, where they got back from hiking. We hiked for we even camped out. So we were there for like 3 or 4 days and we never seen anything, no activity, no weird things, but coming home, I said, that was like, where the hell did this thing come from?
Yeah.
And I thought that was interesting. And that's when you say Cumberland, I thought about his story.
You know, the Cumberland Plateau area, especially, like I said, around Sparta and that area, for some reason, is a very active area in a lot of ways. I've had some extremely interesting experiences driving through there, not necessarily seeing anything, but definitely getting communication, having a sense that something was off around me at times. I think one of the things that really surprised me was I stopped at an overlook there one time because I had passed by it several times and I was like, I really want to see what this looks like. From the road, you couldn't see much of it. So I wasn't really even sure how big of a spot this was. It's not that big of a spot. It has a few parking spaces, diagonal parking spaces there. It's more like a kind of like a place you would pull off in any mountain area, and it's got a nice view. And you spend a few minutes there, you're done. It's pretty, but it's not a whole lot to hold your attention there. But one of the things that I noticed, and it infuriated me to no end, because this has become a common problem everywhere I go now, was graffiti on the rocks. There was a rock facing there right where the road is, which is why you can't see very much. And they had carved out this area for the parking. And like this, the scale of the rock going up quite a ways, there was all this graffiti and so forth, and just litter everywhere. And that is so uncalled for and so unnecessary, but yet people feel like they need to do it. And of course, that was very strong in my mind. As I went to sit back in my car, I got a very clear message that, and what was said to me in my mind was, this is why we choose you. And I thought to myself, wow, is this, what am I hearing here? What are you trying to tell me? And it really occurred to me that what they were saying to me is that my concern for their environment, for their home, was one of the reasons why that they reach out to me like they do.
I was going to get that. You know, I was at your bio. You said it was under your a researcher. You know, I'm thinking you're researching some of these places, and so evidently history plays a big part in that. Mm-hmm. Heritage, and like you're talking about the landmarkings and people who deface that, you know, and that's why I don't like putting the names of certain cemeteries I go to, you know, because for some reason it attracts people to go there to spray paint the headstones or deface a crypt. You know, it's sad, you know, really. I think that history played a big part in what I was gathering from you on a little background search I was doing earlier today.
Yeah. History does play a very big part with me in a lot of things. I mean, you have to understand, like through the ages, we've been observed and we've been watched closely, and we have been observing on our side as well, just probably not as educated in some ways as some of the things that choose to watch us. You know, which if you think about it, is kind of ironic considering we think of ourselves as being the top of the food chain.
I think, you know, you say we're being watched. Who's watching us? The indigenous people had a right all along, you know, as far as spirituality.
Well, they really did. And I probably don't always sound like a big fan of human beings, which is not really true. But we are a species of animal who don't even understand the things that we claim to hold sacred. I mean, we can't wrap our heads around concepts that go beyond our daily lives. So when somebody talks about, I mean, there's still great debates about who or what God is. There's great debates about, you know, are we alone in the universe? What happens at the point of life and death?
And who says that God didn't create the whole universe? You know, we're saying God created the earth, but I'm thinking, well, if there's a God and we believe in God, then he created the whole thing. I mean, the whole, there's a so vast, it's huge. So
right. Well, and the very essence of, I mean, if you go by, and I don't want to turn this into a religious
I
program,
mean either.
But if you go by, you know, what's written that we have information about, the vastness of creator itself or himself, is mind-boggling to us. So, of course, so there's even great debates about the smallest of creatures, like the Fae. We still can't wrap our head around that, and that's centuries old Celtic lore. The indigenous here, you know, the Scottish, the Irish, the Pecs, the Pecs knew about the Fae. So, I mean, we're talking about something that's, you know, it's not like flying cars, something that is just on the chalkboard right now. It's literally, you know, been a part of our past for eons, and we still can't wrap our head around it. So when it comes to the paranormal, look, the one thing that I've learned is we as researchers and investigators and experimenters, paranormal, parapsychology is a pseudoscience, as they call it. What people don't understand is there are some of us who do experiments and do push the envelope to see what we're dealing with and what we can learn about what we're dealing with, gathering evidence from not only our own stuff, but other people's stuff too, to try to put it all together. You know, I know some very talented people who have been able to share some very extremely good photography and so forth that show things that we normally don't see, trying to come up with the explanations for what we're looking at, why we're looking at what we're looking at, the mechanics of it. You really have to engross yourself in it. And, you know, a lot of people think that a lot of us just go around to haunted houses and woods and, you know, asylums and whatever, and go looking for this stuff all the time. We spend, some of us at least, spend hours poring over the evidence,
right?
You know, and the data, because there's data out there.
Yeah, I've had teams on here who had to use science in their investigations. You know, I have no problem with that. Yeah. You know, and because, you know, what I found is, even with all your EVPs and ghost boxes and your power grid, everything you're using, certain people, and they still are not going to believe, because it's a trucker going by, or it's a light going by, or it's just, they always have an excuse that it's not a spirit. So, but I love when people come on here with different, like I was telling Sin Schrader Hill last night, I love learning on this show, and I'm sure you do too. You know, because there's so much to learn. You can't really consider yourself an expert, you know, because there's so many people out there that they're smarter than you, or they have a different view of a different angle, you know. And I love when you have an atheist, or an atheist and a preacher and Reiki and psychics and everybody else is on your team, because you can balance each other out. Mm-hmm. When you come to the same final conclusion, you know, that's mind-blowing. And you probably know this too, you know, that not everything is haunted.
Right. But on the other hand, I will tell you this, I know, I've seen the proof of it. I'm thoroughly convinced that beyond the haunted houses and the asylums and the caves and all the other things that people say are haunted, we are literally surrounded by something all the time, okay? Whether they are spirits, whether they are whatever they are, there, it's out there among us all the time, right in front of our face, and our naked eye can't really see it.
Right.
But there's photographic evidence. I can tell you now, I know one guy who works in East Tennessee, in that area, he carries a lightning detector with him to pick up different energies and so forth. And I've seen, like in his live videos and so forth, I've seen the lightning detector go off with not a cloud in the sky multiple times, back to back, boom, 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 boom. And it's usually in areas that at the time, if he's live, I can pick up the energy around him, even just remotely. I sense the same thing at the same time. I can tell exactly when that thing is about to go off because I feel it already. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, boom, 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 there it goes. A lightning detector. So there's data that you can get through some of these things, like lightning detector is a brand new thing I haven't seen anybody else use yet. Temperature inflections, even moisture, You know, is the air super dry in one spot, but it's humid somewhere else? You know, or vice versa. Back in the day, we used to put more emphasis on radiation levels and so forth like that. EMF meters, K2 meters, that sort of thing. We use all this stuff not only for making contact, but to gather data. You know, because what people don't understand is that these energies, whatever they are, they manifest in different ways. And sometimes I'm learning finally after years of doing research and seeing the numbers and so forth, I'm starting to learn that there's a difference between the data that you collect with certain things, you know, and so while one thing manifests in this way, another thing will manifest in another way.
Because you're working off of energy.
So
it could be, I mean, you think about the dowsing rods, you know, they've been using this for hundreds of years. Willow branches, you know, and I watched my great-grandfather do it when I was just a child. And I went back all back where he's trying to dig, find his well. Well, he's going to dig his well. And we thought there for like a good hour. I, to this day, cannot use a dowsing rod. I don't know if it's me. I tried out many, numerous times. So my grandfather tried to teach me, you know. I watched him do it. And I was like, and there it was. He got the water. He got the spot, you know. And they use it in for finding power lines, gas lines, water lines. And yes, you know, people, well, I don't believe in this, right? Well, they've been doing it, you know.
People use pendulums for the same thing. There's a lot of tools. It really depends on the skill level of the person and what they're tuned to.
Well, my skill level sucks on the dowsing rods.
I have never tried them yet. I've thought about it. It's a little off-putting to me now because they've in recent times, because of social media, they've kind of become a little bit of a joke in a sense, because there are some people on social media who say that they're using them correctly, and you can tell just by the fact that the response of the rods themselves are a little wonky, to say the least, that they're probably not very accurate in their reading. I'm just grateful that bone throwing hasn't become a trend. I love my bone throwing at times, and if that ever becomes a trend, I'm going to be very upset.
We've talked about Bigfoot and cryptids and UFOs and ghosts and fae, dogmen, doppelgangers. I mean, everything is all those subjects. What fascinates you the most?
Oh, wow.
That's a tough one.
That is very tough. Because I got to tell you, probably one of the most amazing things to me and will always be the gripping point for me is the Mothman experience.
Have you been down to Point Pleasant?
I have not. I have not been to Point Pleasant yet. I had intended to go a couple of years back and it kind of fell through. I'm still going to go at some point. There have been sightings of a Mothman-like creature in and around the Chicago area, especially around O'Hare Airport. Around the O'Hare Airport. As a matter of fact, I just made contact with somebody recently or sent a message to him. I haven't really heard back yet. Somebody recently who's done a lot of research, according to my sources, on the Mothman. That will probably always be one of those things, one of those topics that I always gravitate to real hardcore, because it defies everything that we know about Mothman at this point, defies our understanding of cryptids. It's known to chase cars. It's also known to do things, some things that not just any cryptid can do. It's also known to appear in places that make no sense. The amount of activity that goes on around the Mothman, Bigfoot has some incredible activity that goes around the creatures I don't even like to call them creatures, they're people around them. But there are things that are unique to the Mothman that I have not heard of with other beings. And we don't even know the origin of Mothman as far as where the legend really begins and ends. I mean, here, Bigfoot and even Dogman There's traces of those stories that go all back for eons in the indigenous. Pinpointing the Mothman in history, where it began, where those legends start, we really don't have a whole lot until Point Pleasant.
What do you think about the haunted dolls, haunted objects out of the house that can carry on?
I've seen evidence, okay. The Warrens were instrumental at kind of perpetuating that idea.
I mean, you have like Robert the Doll in Florida, you know, and Annabelle, and there's so many.
Yeah,
you know, and yeah. I was just at a Paracon this past October, and I held a haunted doll. And actually, I had to go over and hold it. You know, but I'll tell you what, man, it felt like a baby. The weight, I mean, everything. And I've been doing this for a long time, and I gave it back to her. You know, I'm gonna have her on the show hopefully here pretty soon. But yeah, and then I had other guests on the show that say they took a dresser from a house that was extremely haunted, and there's activity now with this dresser. What's your thoughts on that?
So, you know, I'm kind of torn about that, to be honest with you. I have to step back when we talk about this, because what I know myself of spirits and even not spirits that are part of that realm, it's really hard for me to wrap my head around one attaching itself to an object and limiting itself that way. But on the other hand, why not? There's this ongoing debate that I have inside my head all the time about when people talk about haunted dolls or, you know, artifacts from haunted places being possessed by a spirit or whatever. Part of me wants to go, why would you do that? Why would you attach yourself to a object? It's so limiting. But then if we're talking about spirits, you know, the experience of spirits is as vast as it is for the living. You know, for every spirit, there's another experience going on. There's a totally different individualized existence. I don't rule it out. Some researchers will tell you they just don't accept that as a thing. I don't rule it out. I don't rule anything out, to be honest with you. I've seen too much in my lifetime, heard too much.
My thoughts have changed since I started this podcast 70 years ago, because I had my mindset when I first started off. Yeah, I've seen a ghost, yeah. But I've never seen a UFO. I've never seen Bigfoot. I've never seen a fae. So I can't say it doesn't exist. That'd be like saying, well, a ghost don't exist. Well, I've seen, you know, for myself, and I know what I experienced. So I can't have my guests come in here and me say, I don't believe you. So I'm taking you for your word that this actually happened. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And then with all the evidence that's out there right now, like you're talking about, you know, your concrete evidence that you're gathering with your equipment, mm-hmm. and or like UFOs, you know, the sightings from not just somebody drinking moonshine in the backyard saying, oh, hey, buddy, look at that. You know, these are coming from military pilots. They're coming from law enforcement. They're coming from government officials. I believe that it goes a lot deeper than I want to talk about, because I still think I get targeted sometimes. I'll just leave it at that. Yeah, I, my mind's changed a lot on, because I didn't know what a fae was until a couple of years ago, or Dogman. So I knew all the other ones. Listen to other people and getting their opinions, whatever realm we're talking about, like moving a spirit on. How can I say you're right or wrong? I think we'll all know once we die. You know, I try to think that there's a greater being than us, you know, because there has to be. So I've learned a lot from other people, say your opinions and the way you tackle the problem, the way you look at it, because you may look at it a different way than I do, or another investigator. I can't say you're wrong. You know, you can't say I'm wrong. Yeah. I mean, so, you know, and I like when people come together and you can share your experiences and your knowledge.
Right.
You've been around the block, you know what I'm talking about.
Well, and part of the reason why, because a lot of people, you know, even my moderators, I love my moderators dearly. I have a couple of them that are very good at giving me wise counsel about a lot of stuff. They have encouraged me, you know, to be more directed toward, at this particular time, you know, one particular area a little bit. And I've kind of gone in that direction a little bit. But one of the reasons why I'm not focused on a subject is because I believe that somehow, not necessarily by the most popular opinion out there right now, but I believe that somehow all of these things are somehow connected together. You know, there's a fabric, a web that connects all of these things together somehow. You know, the big tagline now outside of Dogman and so forth like that is people talking about portal. You know, it's gotten to the point where it's kind of one of those things that we talk about in all aspects with the spiritual, with the cryptids, with UFOs, everything. Portals, the conversation of portals show up everywhere.
Yeah.
So that's a common factor. But there's other common factors too that I believe link them all together somehow. You know, and again, I don't rule anything out. I will say when something becomes trendy, it tends to distract me from it, from being interested in it as much. Like the current trend of everything being Nephilim. You know, I've got really good friends, close friends who I love dearly, who are so sold on that word and that concept that they are 100%, you cannot convince them any differently.
Mm-hmm.
And I try to gently remind them all the time that you're limiting the possibilities by saying it's impossible that it could be anything other than this.
Yeah, just to open your mind up, you know.
Right.
Try to accept other people's, you don't have to agree with it, but, you know, right. Listen, just right. Listen, maybe it's a possibility, you know.
It is. And, you know, and I will tell you this, I've been doing some research into the Nephilim, into the different aspects, a lot of angles involved with that. There's a lot of schools of thought about it's a whole can of worms in itself. You know, the sad part of it is I still have to work a full-time job too. So it cuts, and I travel with my job. So it cuts into a lot of time some days. Otherwise, I would love to just be able to spend 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, researching, digging into the evidence, all of that stuff. And because in my lifetime, I will never acquire all the knowledge that I really would like to acquire on this, you know, in any of our lifetimes, the lifetimes of the youngest listener listening to this podcast today, they will never acquire all the information we need to come to conclusions about these things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and their children.
And their children and their children, right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The fact of the matter is it may be eons before we get to the point where we come up with some definite, serious conclusions to some of this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting closer. We've advanced a lot.
We have, and the people's being more receptive, even like the UFOs and the commissions and stuff that we'd never done years ago, you know. So, yeah, but I don't think even our lifetime you're going to see where they're housing these crafts or what they know. And they know a lot. But speaking of time, our time is running out. Where can people go to get a hold of you?
Well, the easiest way to get a hold of me is through magicaljourney.com. That has my email address, all of the ways that you can find me online. That is kind of the hub of activity. If you are on Facebook, there is a magical, well, my profile is on professional mode now on Facebook. So you can reach me there. Obviously on YouTube, Magical Journey Podcast is a really great place to go to. And I encourage you, if you're interested in the paranormal and you don't mind sifting through the multitude of information on there right now, I've only been at this since September of last year, I believe. I'm already, because of some other things I was doing for a period of time, already at like 60-something episodes on there.
That's awesome, yeah.
So, you know, and I'm in the works of working on other things, building a Patreon and stuff like that. So, but definitely magicaljourney.com is the hub of information. I do update it frequently. It is an ever-evolving entity, and that is where, as a matter of fact, I just added a ton of new merch onto the merch store today. So
awesome. Well, you know, it's my pleasure having you on the show, and hope we get to talk again here in the future. That'd be nice.
Absolutely. It's my pleasure to be here as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Daniel Cahoon. It's been my pleasure having you on the show. I'm sure we're going to talk again. I love picking people's brains and getting their thoughts on things. And Daniel is full of a lot of interesting topics and has a fantastic podcast called Magical Journey Podcast. I mean, his podcast talks on UFOs and cryptids and Bigfoot and everything paranormal. I'll have his links at the bottom of this episode. A quick reminder, I still have the coupon running for getting $4 off my book, Spencer's Ghost. Go to my website, authoralcooley.com, and you copy the coupon code under the book section. Copy that code, go into bookshop, and apply it before checkout, and save that $4. It's a fantastic deal, and it's limited time, so jump on board, get the book, I appreciate it. Again, I'm your host, Al Cooley, and I will see you in 2 weeks with another great episode on Ghost in the Valley podcast.